T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Welcome back in. On a day in which we have actually mentioned wrestling because of Sunday night's event down at Bon Secours Wellness Arena, Aaron Cheslock doing the feature on women wrestlers. How ironic is today is Ric Flair's 70th birthday. He just showed up. Sports Illustrated tweeted it. I can't see the video on it, but he was completely surprised at his 70th surprise birthday party, where guests included Evander Holyfield, Triple H, Charles Barkley, Dennis Rodman, and Shane McMahon. So happy birthday, Ric Flair. Happy birthday. All right, Jeff Goodman tweets out a few minutes ago, here is an update in a couple of things. First of all, College Game Day, the basketball edition tomorrow morning, it will be in studio. It was originally supposed to be at the Carrier Dome in Syracuse ahead of Duke versus Syracuse, but after what happened on Wednesday night following the Louisville win, Coach Boeheim was driving down the interstate. Somebody was walking on it, did not see him, struck him. The man passed away. It's going to be a very traumatic time there. So I think it's appropriate, due to the type of show, to move this in studio. But Jim Boeheim, Syracuse, announced this a little bit ago. He will coach the game this weekend. He has spoken with his team every day, but has not been there for practice. Also, Jeff Goodman tweets, Duke Zion Williamson, who, of course, was hurt Wednesday night, and he's listed day-to-day with a grade 1 knee sprain, is not expected to play tomorrow at Syracuse, but he is up and moving around and sounds optimistic he will be back in the next week.
Twitter poll update, tweeted this out about 2 hours ago. Should Robert Kraft be forced to sell the Patriots after being charged with misdemeanor solicitation of prostitution, a la Jerry Richardson being forced to sell the Panthers after sexual harassment allegations? So far, 107 votes have been cast. 55% say yes. Robert Kraft should be forced to sell the Patriots.
If guilty.
Right. The replies here, if found guilty and it proves true that the girls are part of human trafficking, I assume he means yes. Jim Irsay got a DUI with an entire pharmacy in his car. That seems a lot worse to me, says at Braden Vaughn. Doesn't matter. Both are illegal. I don't really understand the distinction there, Braden. And then Eddie Bauman says just flat out no.
I got to see this thing break down. Listen.
I mean, the thing is, he is seemingly, allegedly guilty of soliciting prostitution. And right. There seems to be video evidence of him soliciting prostitution.
Did now, he know that this was a sex trafficking?
Well, that doesn't matter. The point is, it's illegal that he solicited prostitution.
Right.
But it becomes even worse, and it is compounded if it turns out, and it seems to be so, it seems to be the case, that this is an illegal human trafficking network.
But you also have to determine his knowledge of it. Maybe he had no clue that that was going on. But number two, we got to hear more details on this, because in the Jussie Smollett case the other day, it was so hot topic that the Chicago Police Department, head of the police department, had to basically present the case right there during the press conference, as well as the prosecutor. Why? This was a situation in which everybody wanted it. We needed that information on why they made
True.
The decision that they did, because that could have started a race war before all was said and done.
Going back to what you said earlier, though, what have you always heard? Ignorance of the law is no justification for breaking the law.
Oh,
it doesn't matter if he knew that something illegal was going on or not. The fact is, he broke the law, and he will not be charged for sex trafficking. He will be charged for soliciting prostitution.
60 days. And again, I want to know what he knew. You know, if he was just showing up, you know, there are a lot. 60 days in jail for something, if you weren't, now, if he knew what was going on, throw him under the bus twice, roll over him on Sunday, everything else. An offense of 60 days in jail.
If he said, here's $100 for a ZJ, then he's absolutely guilty.
My point being, everybody makes mistakes. This wasn't a DUI in which you got in a car and went and risked other people's lives. You know what I mean?
But I don't understand how you downplay soliciting prostitution.
I'm just saying that there are different – there are grade A1 misdemeanors or grade 2. In the court of law, we have various degrees of how bad an act are. Number one – right now, there's a lot of general – I'm not defending Robert Kraft, but I don't think the general public has the right as an American to go, you got to go sell your business. Because guess what?
Where have you been for the last 10 years? That's exactly what America does.
The court of public opinion does, but the court of public law doesn't. Because guess what? We get this release 3 weeks ago when it comes to this actor on Empire in Chicago, and people are jumping on the story, calling it a modern-day lynching, all this kind of stuff, and it turned out to be garbage. Now he is under arrest and going to jail for fabricating this stuff. It should be a hate crime, in my opinion, because of what could have happened. All right? If this was about paying $100 to get your jollies off and not knowing anything else, I see a major difference between those two crimes. One's a hell of a lot more severe. I'm not justifying anything. Not justifying anything in any way, shape, or form. But I'm sorry, getting a speeding ticket is breaking the law. You go to court, if you're found guilty, you pay a fine. Hey, the ramifications are eventually you can lose your license. But it's not the same as murder. It's just not the same as murder. So there's various degrees. Let's let this play out. We are... just like Jussie Smollett, until he gets his day in court, he is innocent until proven guilty. Like R. Kelly that got put up on major charges today, and I think he's awful, but he is still innocent until proven guilty. And Robert Kraft, your wife is rolling over in her grave right now based on these actions, but you are innocent until proven guilty till your day in court. There's a difference between the court of public opinion and the court of public law. I may be wrong, but I'm 50. Let's get Stan's opinion. I hope you're doing well, Stan.
Hey, guys. How you doing today?
Trying to meander our way through what we are in 2019. I hope we are doing an acceptable job and not offending.
Well, in relation to Kraft and whether he should sell the Patriots or not, I would just chime in that the owner of the Panthers and the owner of the NBA team a couple of years back, mm-hmm. a court of law did not force them to sell the team. The sport itself is what made them sell the team. Am I right or wrong in that?
Yes, you were pretty much right on that one. But I think that they kind of intimated you best sell because there is no way you can win this thing with us within the business because you have signed on to adhere to some certain rules and regulations. So, and that's why ultimately, if these owners want to get together with Roger Goodell and say, Robert Kraft, you've got to sell this business, that's probably going to be the end of him as owner of the New England Revolution soccer team, not to mention the New England Patriots football team.
Well, the point I was getting to is mm-hmm. when it comes to the code of conduct that owners are held to, is there anything in it that's printed saying, you know, if you do this or if your charge is of this degree or anything else that, you know, at that point the NFL or NBA or whatever sport had to take action at that point?
Now, that's a great thing. That's something that we are not privy to. I bet you don't have. Now, you could sue to probably get access of that, but I guarantee you that's not information that the NFL is going to give up unless they are forced to through some type of court.
Well, a lot of these contracts, and I think your contract and my contract, yes. Sturge, both has language in there that says if you do anything that essentially brings shame upon you and this and the radio station and the business, you can be terminated for it. So, you know, it's obviously it's open-ended language in the contract. If you do anything to make us look bad, we can terminate you.
Because you're going to affect our business otherwise.
Right. So it could very easily fall into that category. Yeah. And of course, this all, I didn't posit the question to say, should he be required to sell the team today? That's not what I meant.
If proven guilty.
Right. If convicted or proven guilty, you know, do you think the league should, could, or would force him to sell the team?
It's going to be interesting, all right? Because maybe I'm, you know, we try to live in this black and white world that there's no gray area. If you look, I have never gone to jail in my life. I've never been arrested, Diesel, but technically I'm convicted because I've had a couple of speeding tickets and had to go admit that I was speeding and go pay the fine and have the points taken off my license. So that means I committed an illegal act. But I don't want to be lumped in with others because of that. That's why I say there's various degrees. Let's let this play out. We saw a really, really fascinating situation take place this week in Chicago. Because after 3 weeks of not knowing and everybody jumping on this, you don't normally see a police chief, a prosecutor, and things of that nature more or less lay out their court process right there. But the country needed answers when it came to what took place over a hate crime. If you ask me, that's exactly what it was. This is a hate crime. It's just a different kind of hate crime. But nobody's a winner here. Everybody's a loser. But, you know, it is the way it is. But, again, you can go to our Twitter account, at ESPN Upstate, and vote, and we'll give you an update on that before the end of the show. But speaking of gambling, guess what? We have new updated Heisman odds for the national title or for the Heisman Trophy in 2019. I bet you there might be a couple of quarterbacks at the top of the list. We'll run through that, and you can give us a phone call. That's 844-GSP-ESPN. Should the NFL make him sell if he's guilty? Love your opinion. So, Diesel, if he's listening, get in with us. But he's right. Eric Boynton of the Spartanburg Herald-Journal tweets, says, guys, enough with the baloney that the NFL would even contemplate forcing Kraft to sell the Patriot. And just as a heads up, the league never forced Richardson to sell the Panthers. It was solely his decision. NFL had zero to do with it. I think what that did, that whole situation sort of forced the issue. In which
the court of public opinion forced him to sell the team.
Yes. Yeah. Well, I mean, it was something that was going
to
happen.
Have to sell it.
Because of the family fight that had gone on between Mark and some others, so it wasn't going to be a ownership group that once he was gone that just transferred to another generation. So Eric's completely right. It was, all right, screw it. I'll get rid of the team and I'll go on. And you know, like I said, over a possible 60-day offense, I can't believe it. You're going to have to go to court for the NFL. Now, the court of public opinion and the court of public law are two completely different things.
Well, you know, to me, what this speaks more to is the NFL's past 10 years of bungling sexual and domestic violence issues. They have seemingly gotten it wrong at every turn. Either they go too strict, or then they swing back and go too lenient, and then it happens again. They go too strict, and they swing back and they go too lenient. What does this say? What does this say about the NFL and their actual stance on domestic violence issues and sexual harassment and sexual violence issues if they let one of the most powerful men in their league essentially walk with no punishment? With no internal punishment.
He'll pay a fine. Have to contribute money to some type of nonprofit that helps with sex slave rings, blah, 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 blah. He will be punished by the NFL, no doubt about it. What you just brought to me, Diesel, says that there's no concrete rule, that they deal with things on a case-by-case scenario, and they haven't been consistent in one way, shape, or form, because look at just went on in the last 6 weeks, month. The running back of the Kansas City Chiefs was cut when that video came up of him striking the domestic violence thing, and the Cleveland Browns turn around and sign him just a couple of weeks ago. So you cut him, sign. It's a mixed message, no doubt about it. But you know what, Diesel? I would say that does the mixed message and the variance of left and right, does that not kind of go in line with how Roger Goodell has ruled the NFL for years now? There's been no consistency, no thought process, doesn't give a crap about the fans. It's all about making that money for the owners. So I'd say that this completely goes in line with how Roger Goodell's history has been with the NFL. You want to go make team owners sell teams, man, maybe like take a look at Daniel Snyder going, you're just an idiot. You got the Washington Redskins and FedEx Stadium, and you can't stay out of your own way. But again, it is your right. It is American to fail financially, which none of these owners are failing financially. But yeah, you get what I'm saying.
All right, so I want to take this on a lighter note since we've gotten pretty heavy over the last 20 minutes or so. Man arrested for putting fake arrow decals on the floor in IKEA and for creating a labyrinth with no exit. This event
took
place last Saturday at the multinational IKEA in Atlanta when a salesman alerted the police that nobody left the building and he thought it was very strange. Police received dozens of calls from people reporting that they were locked in IKEA and couldn't get out. Police and firemen the police and fire departments arrived at the scene and they entered by the exit door. When they got in, they observed the cashiers playing Candy Crush because there were no clients. Then they had initiated a rescue protocol and quickly arrived at the carpet section where they checked that all customers were walking in circles and chasing, quote, fake arrows. People made use the display toilets. A woman almost, sorry, the article keeps updating and bouncing right and moving. A woman almost gave birth on a carpet. A man was sleeping on the couch, and even some were using the technology devices. People were tied with ropes and were rescued, but they were so dazed they couldn't even remember their names, the fireman explained. The author voluntarily surrendered to police, assuming his guilt. Did they have to tie a rope on him so they could get them all out of the building?
What? First of all, can I be honest and admit I've never been in an IKEA store in my life?
So IKEA stores are massive.
Right.
And they are already a labyrinth. And so it sounds like this guy was putting arrows on the floor to get people going in certain directions. Right. And then they all just kind of kept going around in circles. And
at what point do you realize that you're going around in a circle? At what point do you look up at the ceiling and go, a corner is over there? I should probably make my way toward that corner because life tells me there's probably a door over there.
Assuming this story is true, this guy is a modern-day Guy Fawkes. I love it.
I love it. In 2019, our court system's going to take up time. Dude ought to be patted on the back on the Tonight Show and go, that was good. What's the best practical joke you've ever been involved in?
I don't know, but that's pretty epic.
That's
amazing.
That's great, but somebody's going to go to jail for that. You know, what have we talked about forever, the last 6 months? What's going on right before our eyes? It's the wussification of America. If you lose the ability to laugh and laugh at yourself, you really got nothing left. Laugh at it. You got played. That's what it is. You're telling me that somebody was so lost in there that they were that they almost go into labor and have their baby and nobody could have helped them? That sounds like it came off of, I don't know, BuzzFeed or The Blaze or something like that, The Onion, blah, 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 something. But
assuming the story is true, that's hilarious. The cops, I think, will laugh at it and let them go. No charges will actually be filed.
Can you imagine in this day and age, everybody's so butthurt over everything, having the book thrown at you over something like that? Unfreaking believable. New rules are always going to be in effect, Diesel, and we will have the NIT coming up, the other postseason tournament. Remember, there's four, the CIT, CTINIT, and of course the NCAA. We know, regardless of the outcome of the season, at the very least, the Southern Conference champion Wofford Terriers will find themselves in the NIT. But the way they're playing and everything else, I think Wofford has just about landed and secured themselves a at-large bid, regardless of what happens. But the NIT I like in the fact that, you know, most people go, oh, that's just, you know, the landing spot for people that weren't quite good. They have the last couple of years have experimented with new rules during the tournament, and they're going to do it again this year. This is what are the rules changes for this upcoming NIT here next month. The three-point line's going to be 1 foot, 8 inches back further than the college basketball current three-point line. It's going to measure 22 feet, 1.75 inches. That is the exact same three-point line and distance used by FIBA in international basketball tournaments. So I think that's a good move. You're already getting kids, you know. The free throw lane will be widened from 12 feet to 16 feet, which is consistent with the width of an NBA free throw lane.
Are they going to have those weird, like, angled free throw lines?
Probably, yeah. But the point being, guys have gotten so much bigger, they need a little bit more room underneath the basket. You know what I mean? What was a 6'6 center back in the day is now a 7'2 center. You know what I mean? And then finally, this one will go, or these are the ones that went in last year. The shot clock will reset to 20 seconds after an offensive rebound instead of going back to a full 30-second shot clock. So here's what they're going to implement in 2019 in the NIT. Team fouls will reset at the 10-minute mark of each half for the purpose of determining free throws. And one-on-one free throws will be eliminated. Teams will shoot two bonus free throws after the fifth foul of each 10-minute quarter. Additionally, teams will be awarded two bonus free throws if a foul is committed with under 2 minutes remaining in each half if that foul occurs before the fifth team foul. So the point being, the NIT is at least trying to get themselves rules-wise a little bit more in line, in sync with FIBA, which is the international governing body of basketball. So that will be interesting, no doubt about it. All right, if you did not hear, Clemson has updated what they are hoping to happen for baseball. It will be a 1 p.m. first pitch at Doug Kingsmore Stadium against VMI. And, of course, follow that game up 60 minutes later with a game number two and hopefully finish out the series on Sunday. South Carolina is at home this weekend. They're taking on Utah Valley. And right now the Gamecocks hold a 5-3 advantage at Carolina Stadium. Utah Valley just got three runs on no hits. So that's one thing that's been, first of all, we have a very small sample size right now, but South Carolina, they need to clean up the fact that they've been giving up some runs without some hits. But South Carolina and Utah Valley, 5-3 right now with the Gamecocks in the lead. If you did not hear, Furman canceled their series with LaSalle. They'll pick up a doubleheader on Sunday against Gardner-Webb. USC Upstate, they're having a softball tournament. Of course, just pay attention. You can go to UpstateSpartans.com and get any updates. Upstate with one of the best softball teams here in the area, absolutely, no doubt about it. So a lot of different things are going on this weekend. But make sure if you're out and about, you get by our sponsor, that's Smoke on the Water in downtown Greenville. Mike Schuler, all the managers, they're ready to take care of you. You know Smoke on the Water is open 7 days a week. They open at 11:30 every day with a daily lunch special. Matter of fact, Sunday's kind of like Thanksgiving and Christmas, all wrapped up, rolled into one, turkey dressing, all the trimmings. A few other things to know about Smoke on the Water. First of all, a couple of years ago, named Best Downtown Greenville Restaurant by USA Today's Travel Division. Named 2017 Best Downtown Restaurant in the Public's Best of the Upstate voting. 2018 Best Happy Hour. That's Monday through Saturday from 4 to 7 p.m. Again, in the Best of the Upstate Awards. So many people claim they're the best at something. Sooner or later, Raise the Hardware and Smoke on the Water can certainly do that. You can find them at the corner of Augusta and Main. That's 1 Augusta Street in Greenville's historic West End. in. If you need a catering job done, the phone number is 232-9091. But go check them out right there at 1 Augusta Street. You'll be very happy that you did. Two segments of open phones to close out the week. We can take your opinions on the Robert Kraft situation. Should he be forced, if found guilty, to sell the New England Patriots? I don't think so, but we'll take your opinion. Also, how about some updated Heisman odds for the 2019 college football season? We'll give you those when we come back. It's Straight Up with Sturge at Diesel, and I are live in studio. All right, welcome back in. Final two segments. You can get in with us. Anything you got for the weekend, whether it's college basketball related, stories in the NFL, hell, stories outside of sports like Jussie Smollett and all this other stuff. I mean, we made a little bit of fun of everybody today. We've also tried to deal with what can be a hot button topic. And, you know, it's sports talk. We can't solve all the problems here, but we can at least try to be somewhat realistic about it. I hope nobody has been offended. But guess what? By talking about things is how you get it out there and make the situation better. And like Diesel, I sat here and thought through the break. Somebody may have to go turn themselves in over doing a practical joke at IKEA. Where have we lost the ability to laugh?
That's true. And you know, earlier in the show, we had a caller who
she was mad at you
because you didn't have the full story. You may have misspoken because you didn't have the full list of information. However, she called in and she said, "I don't want to talk about this on the air." And then she went on about a 45-second tirade, screaming
yelling
in my ear over the phone. And I was trying to say, "Ma'am, stop screaming in my ear. Let's have a conversation about this." And then she hung up. But Miss, I'm not saying that your point is not valid, because it may have been, it may not have been. I don't know. You were yelling in my ear, so I stopped listening to you the moment you started yelling in my ear. So if people could have a rational discussion about things, we'd be in much better shape. Instead, it's, I just want to yell and scream and then hang up the phone so you don't have a chance to reply.
She could have had the most valid point on the face of the
earth. Very much could have been.
The delivery nullified any of it. Because I heard her screaming at you through the phone, and I will maintain, and we don't know all the facts here. We did not have this laid out by a prosecutor like just happened on Wednesday.
Right, this is a breaking story.
This
is
a breaking story. Again, the reason, what they had to do in Chicago the other day with the Jussie Smollett story was completely different than how they're handling this, because people were demanding some answers when it came to this, because we had gone from, you know, something tragic could have happened to somebody over a made-up accusation. Again, he's innocent until proven guilty. This story's going to change as well, but the reality is everybody stop and take a step back, because and I will maintain there's various degrees of criminal conduct. That's why you have, you know, murder one, murder two. Things of that nature. There are various degrees of it. So not everybody's right here. Not everybody's wrong. But the thing is, we don't go anywhere unless we talk about it a little bit. One of the things that we're going to talk about a lot coming up here is spring football, because Clemson and South Carolina, they get underway this Wednesday. And, of course, they end up spring practice on Saturday, April 6th, with their spring game. So it's about that time of the year after the transfer portal, I guess, is starting to close. Which, by the way, wouldn't you love to know, we keep hearing that new phrase in college football, Diesel, the transfer portal. Wouldn't you love to get a look at it and what it actually looks like? But now it's about upcoming odds. Again, we went through from Betfirm the other day, the top 10 when it comes to winning the 2019 college football championship, and it was 1, Clemson, 2, Bama, 3, Georgia, 4, Ohio State, 5, Oklahoma. Number 6 was Michigan, 7, Texas, 8, Florida, 9, Notre Dame, and 10 is Oregon. Well, when it comes to the Heisman Trophy, these are your updated odds according to betonline.com. Diesel, of the top 4 odds on this list, how many do you think are quarterbacks? the top four highest rated guy, the highest rated odds to win the 2019 college football Heisman Trophy. How many of those top four odds are play the position of quarterback?
I'm guessing at least three.
All four. All right, so let's call it what it is. It is now kind of become the quarterback on a very winning team award. But here's what I don't get. I won't take this thing. I can't disagree with it all, but I'm going to give you the opportunity to slap me into reality, or Corey, you can do the same thing if you're out there listening. The highest rated odds at 7-2, or as I like to call it, 3.5-1. Let's just keep it a little bit easier. Sophomore quarterback at Clemson University, Trevor Lawrence. The second best odds, according to betonline.com, University of Alabama junior quarterback Tua Tagovailoa. His odds are 5-1. So Trevor, a little 1.5-1 chance better than Tua Tagovailoa. Interestingly, the third highest odds, according to Bet Online, for the Heisman Trophy are Jalen Hurts. Transfer Alabama quarterback to Oklahoma. I guess those are pretty good odds because Baker Mayfield was a transfer. Kyler Murray was a transfer. I love Jalen Hurts, but if an Oklahoma quarterback wins a third consecutive Heisman Trophy, I'll quit paying attention to the award. Jake Fromm is in the fourth spot at 12-1. Also with three running backs, Jonathan Taylor from Wisconsin, DeAndre Swift from Georgia, and Travis Etienne from Clemson. So Clemson, between Trevor and Travis Etienne, has two of the five highest rated guys when it comes to odds for next year's Heisman Trophy. But Diesel, heading off their list, in the fourth spot at 12-1, I ain't buying for a moment. And here's your opportunity to go, Sturge, get off your high horse. They've got Justin Fields at Ohio State, the fourth highest odds for the Heisman Trophy at 12-1. Tied with Jake Fromm, the Georgia quarterback, in which he could not beat out. So he takes advantage of a bad story and is now immediately eligible to play football at Ohio State under a new coaching staff. You couldn't beat out Jake Fromm at Georgia. Go watch the video of Justin Fields walking off the field after the game in Columbia against South Carolina and about tell me there's no I in team because he was pissed off that all he got to do was hand off the football. I don't buy for a moment with Bet Online that Justin Fields is the fourth highest odds to win the 2019 National Championship. I don't even know if he's going to win the starting job at Ohio State this year. Out of that group at 12-1, I know Jake Fromm's gotten his team to a national championship game. I know he's gotten his team to an SEC championship game this past year as well. The one quarterback at 12-1 odds that I love, pay attention to, because it's going to be a fairly quick turnaround, that's Adrian Martinez at the University of Nebraska. He'll be a sophomore this year. Nebraska ended up winning five of their final six games under Scott Frost. Watch out. That's probably a top 15 program when it comes to the Nebraska Cornhuskers. And then finally at 16-1 odds, another quarterback, Texas's Sam Ellinger. So those are your odds. But I can buy any of those, but I can't buy Justin Fields right now. Because he's done nothing. Zilcho. And then you look at Ohio State and what may happen without Urban Meyer being there and everything else. So, I'm a little bit surprised Jalen Hurts is number three on the list. But the one that should not even be on this list until we see him play a game, even a spring game this year, is Justin Fields at Ohio State. All right, we will come back, Diesel, and we're going to close up shop. We'll take a look at next week. We can give you what the schedule is as of right now. But remember, there's this little nasty thing called Mother Nature out there. She's beating us all. So, of course, a couple of days next week, including next Friday, which will be the game number one of the Clemson-South Carolina baseball series. Let's hope we get all of that in next week. 844-GSP-ESPN, final segment, next side. All right, Diesel, it's our final segment of the week. Hope everybody's doing well. Hope everybody has a great weekend. Let's see if we can't get some of this dadgum rain out of here. I think everybody's nerves are about fried when it comes to it. Now, here, you know, one final thing. We'll find out. I made the prediction the other day that Bryce Harper doesn't sign his Major League Baseball free agency contract until maybe opening day. Seems like right now, if it's not the Phillies, I don't know what's going. Of course, Manny Machado, it was announced earlier today, he is going to be playing third base for the San Diego Padres on his new contract. But right now, and I went and got the Major League Baseball players are up in arms because they feel like they're getting screwed. They don't like how this free agency period's gone down. And their current collective bargaining agreement, it expires in 2021. Now, some players like St. Louis Cardinal pitcher Adam Wainwright, it said, hey, man, it's time for us to strike. There's collusion going on in Major League Baseball amongst the owners when it comes to this free agency. Do something dumb right now and go on strike as multimillionaires. You know what I mean? In this day and age here in our country, nobody's going to feel sorry for you for a strike. Philadelphia Phillies reliever Pat Neshek told USA Today Sports last night, right now there's going to be a strike 100% after 2021. Again, that's when the new CBA contract comes to an end. He goes on to say, I won't be around, so I don't have a horse in the race, but I don't want to see a strike. This guy's 39 years old, says this upcoming year is going to be the final year of his career. But Pat goes on to say, but there's always kind of been that handshake agreement while we're still going to value the older guys and not just totally screw on them. He used a different word that begins with S. And that's what's happening, talking about screwing over the older guys. So I think you're going to have to burn the whole system down and start with that. Owners have a lot more to lose than us, I think. The players have been talking about for the last couple of years, putting money aside, and I think we're going to be ready for a fight. We're going to go multiple years, and I don't know if the owners are willing to sacrifice. Diesel? Major League Baseball players want to kill their very own sport, go on strike for a couple of years. Will you go have any – you're probably not a baseball fan to begin with, maybe outside of the Braves and some of that talk, but would you give baseball, hell, the NFL or the – if – multi-millionaire athletes go on strike for a couple of years. Can you ever accept an apology for that interruption? Because I'll be honest with you, I don't think I could. Not when it comes to baseball, which I'm not that passionate about to begin with.
I mean, I'd probably watch it about the same as I do now, which isn't a lot. I like postseason baseball.
Yeah.
I watch postseason ball. I watch the World Series intently, but regular season baseball, God, just I can't do it. So I'd probably watch it about the same as I do now.
Yeah, they're out there begging, oh, man, if Bryce Harper and Manny Machado can't generate a strong market when it comes to free agency, who can? First of all, I've maintained for a week, Manny Machado will always, always be remembered for making the comment of, I don't have to hustle in last year's postseason. Bryce Harper has been very enigmatic and all about himself, and there are a lot of owners that go, I'm not sure I want to invest $326 million for this guy to be the leader in my clubhouse, because even if that's not his job, you got to have that expectation from that kind of money. I think that's part of the problem with Cam Newton at quarterback with the Carolina Panthers. He was the number one draft pick, Diesel. But some leaders are born, they're not made, and guess what? Cam's just not the lead. He doesn't want to. That's why he sat under a towel. Now he's learning to get out of that. You invest 10 years, $326 million into Bryce Harper. Do you not want some kind of leadership out of him in the locker room? So I don't think it's necessarily about the owners, as it was a pretty weak free agency, but I did like what Houston Astros ace Justin Verlander had to say. Now that's who I want to hear from when it comes to this. Somebody that's that talented at what they do. This is what Justin Verlander had to say, the sum of all parts has added up to the situation that we're in. I think we made some mistakes on both sides, to be completely honest. But under the umbrella of what I love about the game and how could it be and is, I think we all agreed that some things need to be fixed. Well, here's what you better do as a Players Association. You, number one, you better go determine what those things are that you need to be fixed. And then you better go negotiate it in good faith, because a two-year strike in 2021, and that people are not going to feel sorry for labor in this regard. I can't see it. Everybody wants what right now? They already wanting these salaries reined back in. I just can't fathom we'd be willing to go on a two-year strike. Baseball would be dead to me at that point. Now, at least until the Atlanta Braves go on another World Series run. But to me, that's just short-sighted right now. Already floating out there in 2019 on February 22nd that they're going on strike in 2 years, and it's 100% certain. It's going to be an interesting year in baseball this year. Kind of watch how the backlash goes on. You know, the reality, I think what owners want, and I think it was Eric Boynton earlier this week that hit the nail on the head, it's not the salaries that scare them, it's the 10-year commitments. So maybe this new Manny Machado contract with a 5-year opt-out, maybe that's going to be the way about things, but agents don't want that. They want 10 years guaranteed, Diesel. Why? Because then they can budget their money out of what they're going to get paid. But it would be best for baseball in a bad situation. Hey, listen, not every job situation works out for somebody. Sometimes you need an opt-out on both sides. Maybe this is going to happen for Major League Baseball moving forward. But I also think it's the ghost of Albert Pujols, the ghost of Jason Hayward, and especially the ghost of Chris Davis with the Baltimore Orioles when it comes to these contracts, long, big contracts in which owners have gotten burnt. All right, man, listen, it has been a fun week back on the air this week. This much we can tell you right now, that we're supposed to be off on Tuesday for Clemson baseball and then out of here at 5:30, I believe, on Friday for Clemson baseball. Of course, next weekend's the big Clemson-South Carolina series. But the reality is, Diesel, they could all throw us a changeup right now. You like me mixing that pitching terminology in there, with having to reschedule a game or something at this point. So bear with us. We're going to have some fun. I've already put some feelers out for next week when it comes to interviews, because guess what? We will be in the final 2 weeks of the college basketball regular season, only really 1 week out from being in Asheville for the upcoming Southern Conference tournament. So, man, it's here, brother. But so what's going on 93.3 The Planet tonight? We don't have Smash or Trash on Friday nights, do we?
Sometimes we do. This week, no, because it is a double shots weekend. But we are going to talk
about my baby's love. Name that band.
I couldn't tell you.
Swinging Medallions.
we are going to talk about this Bob Kraft situation some more. It's a new segment called What the Friday.
What the F?
What the Friday?
Yeah, what the F? See what you're doing there. That's very, very smart. Well, cool. And, listen, we'll have coverage tomorrow from Clemson, from Wofford at Furman up at Timmons Arena. And you can go to our social media sites at ESPN Upstate on Twitter, at Sturgis Sports. Follow at your own risk. Sports Talk's most decent producer, at Diesel on radio. And, of course, you can always go check our website out, ESPNUpstate.com. Outside of that, Diesel, maybe I'll see you around this weekend. I know this much. You see somebody dressed up, ready to go on Sunday night down at Bon Secours Wellness Arena for WWE Wrestling. Dude, I've got a lot of pent-up frustration. I got to go scream and get out of my system after being off for 5 weeks for shoulder surgery. Yes, that's going to be me. That's going to be that guy. And Diesel, if there is a clause in our contract that says we can't do anything to embarrass Intercom, it was fun working with you while I did. So, but in the meantime, thanks to Mike Buddy, Furman's athletic director, for joining us. And, of course, our buddy Aaron Cheslock with Fox Carolina as well. Make sure you check out his feature later next week on Women's Wrestler. So, in the meantime, Hope all of you have a blessed weekend. Hope we catch a break for all of us when it comes to some sunshine, but specifically for our athletic directors that are all scrambling around. Speaking of baseball, South Carolina has tacked on 5 more runs. They now have an 11-3 lead in the 6th inning over Utah Valley. So looks like the Gamecocks will improve to 4-1 on the season. But in the meantime, tune us in on Monday. Hope all of you have a blessed weekend. And guess what? We'll do it at 4 p.m. Monday for another edition of Straight Up with Sturge.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.